Advisor, the podcast from thegeopolitics.com. In today's podcast, we want to continue with our series on the geopolitics of different nations. So today is the turn of Germany. Germany today is the industrial powerhouse of the European Union, sitting at the center of the European continent. But Germany's recent history, we've seen it's had a difficult relationship with many of the neighbors, which has led to devastating wars on the European continent. So here to discuss the geopolitics of Germany is our Europe analyst, Masiullah, who is based in Hamburg, Germany. How are you doing, Masiullah?
Hello, Adnan. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, Miss. So let's jump straight in, Masiullah. With all our series, we start with the same question. What are Germany's geopolitical imperatives and constraints?
Yeah, it's a very good start for such a topic. So Germany, as other nations, has some imperatives based on its history and experience. But one of the most important, I would say, is the imperative of safeguarding the unity and sovereignty of Germany. Germany had to learn the hard way how important a unified state under one single leader is. Germany was divided for most of the centuries into small federal states. So you had, in German we say, Bistümer, Fürstentümer. So really like small in competition with one another states. And this situation made it only natural that through the years Germany suffered from foreign invasions. So you had the Romans invading Germany several times. You had the French invading Germany. And you had foreign wars, European wars carried out inside in Germany, like the 30 Years' War thing we will pick on this topic later on. So through all these invasions and foreign powers using the division of Germany, Germany learned how important a unified state is. And in 1871, Germany became one of the last European states became a unified nation. So this, through its history, always was a very big quest for Germany to safeguard its unity. Another imperative, which also is based through its experience from the invasions, is the domination of the North European plain. Because most of the invasions inside Germany, if it was from France or from the north of Germany, when it comes to Denmark or Sweden or even Russia, these invasions happen through the North European plain. So for Germany today, which is based in the middle of the North European plain, unlike France, who begins or ends depending on how you see the North European plain, Germany is inside the middle of the North European plain, shares an eastern border and a western border. So this meant for Germany to always have these borders of the North European plain stable and security, thereby avoiding another foreign invasion. And another part, because of these federal structures, because they, for centuries, Germany was divided into several states, we also have in Germany like a big difference when it comes to the culture inside of Germany. So I'm based here in Hamburg, which is quite far north on the, you could say, on the border to Denmark. So the Denmark border is less than 3 hours away from me. And if you drive 900 kilometers, which is by car like 9 hours to Munich, you will see that there is a big difference when it comes to the culture there. So first of all, they speak completely different and they are more close to the Austrians than they are to us North Germans. Also on the east and in the west, you see similarities to the French, to the Belgians, to the Dutch, but also to the Czechs and the Polish people. So these differences and the federal state, which we have in Germany, make it quite hard to have a single leadership which can reign throughout the whole country. So the internal stability always was and always will remain a big quest for every German government. So I think these three imperatives throughout history, we can see that they always have been the national quest for Germany. When one of these imperatives wasn't under the hand of the government, you could see foreign intervention, you could see European powers taking advantage of this situation and trying to force its will on Germany or to expand its influence inside of Germany. So throughout this experience, I think the successive governments learned that if they want a stable and secure Germany, they have to reach and safeguard these imperatives.
So, Marcelo, why did Germany go to war with Europe? We obviously had World War One in 1914 and then World War Two in 1939. Why did Germany go to war with Europe?
So, Germany, as I told you, always was seen as a battlefield for European states to widen its influence inside of, not only inside Germany, but inside the whole European continent. So for example, the 30-year war, which happened from 1618 to 1648, it started as inner German conflict, but it expanded to a whole European conflict. So you had the Russians trying to expand its influence through Germany inside of Europe, but you also had the French and the Swedes and the Danish using this situation to try to extend its influence inside of Europe. So Germany always was seen as a battlefield for European powers to widen its influence inside of Europe. So once Germany became unified, the situation really turned 180 degrees. So instead of the European countries viewing Germany as a battlefield for the expansion of their political influence, now after the unification, Germany was seen as a threat which could undermine their political influence. So from the start of the German unification, French, Britain, but also Russia viewed Germany now as a threat, and From the beginning, they tried to undermine Germany, not becoming too powerful to dominate the European continent. So this is why Germany always viewed itself as these countries trying to undermine its influence. So it had to undergo political battle against the European countries to break the chains which they tried to force up in Germany to try to widen its political influence. And in the end, these games or these chains they try, or Germany viewed itself as the only way to break itself free from these chains the European states tried to force upon Germany, was going to war with the European states. So it wasn't really a decision made by Germany to rule the European continent, but it was more a decision from Germany to see the intervention or the war against Europe as the only way to really extend its influence, because the French and the Britain and the Russians, so the European states, undermined Germany and tried to really make it not happen that Germany can extend its political influence. So the only way to extend its political influence by Germany was to go to war against these European states. And this is the reason why we can see in a short time that Germany, through war, tried to break away from these atmosphere the European states try to force upon them, and try to extend its political influence by war.
So, Marcelo, how was someone like Hitler able to become the German leader?
So, as I told you, the Germans always viewed the decision of Germany to go or to start a world war. They didn't see it as a decision which Germany made. Rather, they see it as a decision which was forced upon Germany by the European states. So after World War One, the atmosphere inside Germany was one of, then after the Treaty of Versailles, the European states, they gave Germany the whole, or the reason why the whole war started was given upon Germany. But the Germans viewed it completely different. So for them, this was something unjust to give Germany the whole reason why the war started. But for them, it was like, you forced upon us the decision to go to war. So this was the first one. The second one, the Germans really believed that their leadership stabbed them in the back. So there is a huge legend, you could say, which is called the... So if I have to translate it now to... in English, it would be called stab in the back legend. So in Germany, we say Dolchstoßlegende. So this means that the Germans, they had the idea that the military was powerful and the military was still capable of winning the war. But the leadership stabbed them in the back, and while the military could win the war and was fighting the war, the leadership were decided against the will of the military and the people to capitulate. So this really broke the trust of the Germans inside its leadership. And after the First World War, Germany had to pay big reparations to European states. Germany had to destroy its military industry, which the Germans were very proud of, especially of its navy. And Germany underwent through a big recession. So we are talking about inflation of 10% today in Germany, but the inflation at that time was like 1,000%. There are stories that people had to go with small cars, you know, when you have a garden, you cut your grass and everything, you put it on something, and then you bring it to the bin and throw everything away. So these things, carriage wagons, I call them now, they were full of money, and with this money you could only buy one single bread. This is how high the inflation was. And in this atmosphere, someone like Hitler came, and he basically said what the German thought, that the cause of the outbreak of the war, it wasn't Germany's fault, it was the Europeans' fault, which forced Germany to undertake this decision, and that Germany was capable of winning the war, but the leadership was stabbing them in the back. So basically what he did, there was already this atmosphere, he jumped up in this atmosphere, he tried to find someone to blame off, which were the Jews and the communists, who he blamed of them losing the war, and because of them we lost the war, and the leadership. So if you compare it to, you could say that the atmosphere inside of Germany at the Weimar Republic, it was the same atmosphere which we have today. So don't forget that the Weimar Republic, it was a democracy. So there was a elected government, and someone from Hitler came inside the democratic system. He got elected through the democratic system and built his whole Nazi empire upon the democratic way. And this is the same situation we have today. So the lack of trust in democracy, the lack of trust in politicians, and this is why we can see in countries like Brazil, America, Ukraine, and elsewhere, that people turn to alternative humans, like not politicians, but comedians or like Trump businessmen and everything, who just say what the people think. And the same situation was in Germany. So what we witness today is just a repeatance of history, what we have witnessed in Germany 100 years ago. And this is the same reason why someone like Trump could come to power, someone like Bolsonaro, someone like Zelensky could come to power, the same reason why someone like Hitler could come to power, and which should also give us a warning for the future.
So moving on, Masiola, Germany or West Germany was there at the birth of the European Union, and Germany today is still a key supporter of the European Union. How does the European Union serve German interests?
So the European Union, was built as an economic union by France. France, after the Second World War, saw that they don't have the power anymore. They don't have the resources anymore to compete with America and the Soviet Union. So their idea to still be able to compete with America and the Soviet Union was to unify Germany, to unify Europe, be the leader of Europe, and through its influence in Europe, compete with America and the Soviet Union. And they started by building the European Steel and Coal Society. And at that time, steel and coal were two of the main resources for having a big military industry. So it started as an economic project. And even today, we can see that the European Union is dominated by economic projects and rather political projects. So Germany, after the Second World War, completely had to go through denazification and demilitarization. The whole military industry got destroyed, and Germany had to rebuild its whole economy and industry upon civil usage. So, for example, BMW, one of the best car makers today, in the past they produced engines for planes, but because Germany wasn't allowed to build engines for planes anymore because most of its war planes used these engines, they had to start building cars. The problem is that by bringing up in economy and industry which is built on civil use, like cars, heavy industry, and even chemicals, you either need a very big population, because all these cars, VW, BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, all these cars they produce, they want to sell them. And you can sell them to your own population, but how often do you buy a new car? You buy a new car every like 5 to 10 years. So who do you sell your other hundreds of thousands of cars you produce? So you have to export them. But when it comes to exporting, obviously there are some barriers which hinder your export. And the European Union, they abolished all these economic barriers which led to Germany exporting all its products inside of Europe as if the European states inside the EU were part of Germany. So there is absolutely no difference right now if VW sells a car inside of Germany or outside of Germany inside the EU. So the biggest profit Germany right now has as the most dominant export-oriented nation inside European Union and second in the world is that they can sell the cars without any trade barriers inside the European Union. So this economic advantage is one of the biggest profits Germany has when it comes to the European Union. When it comes to the political ambitions Germany has inside of Europe, there was and still is like a big race with when it comes to Germany and France of leading the European Union. But I think before we can talk about that, we should highlight the relations of Germany and France.
Yes, on that topic, my next few questions are about Germany's relationship with a number of countries. If we begin with France, the German-French axis has been a key cornerstone of the EU. How would you describe relations between both countries currently?
So what Germany and France try to sell us through the media, through school lessons we have here in Germany, is that even though Germany and France in the past they were enemies, they fought several wars against one another, looking at its relationship now, it's one of the best examples of how foes can become friends. This is the image they try to sell us, they try to teach us in school and everything. But I think if we look a little deeper inside the relationship of Germany and France, we can see that this image they try to show us and sell us is not very actual and not really describing the reality. Oh, don't forget the European Union started by the French. The French raised this whole issue of a unified Europe. The French, they started this whole idea of European Union, and their idea, as I already said before, was to use the European continent and try to, through its influence inside there, dominate the European continent and try to compete with the US and the Soviet Union. But after the unification of Germany just by nature having more resources than France has right now, Germany saw that the European Union also benefits them more than France, and this economic advantage Germany had, it later on turned into political ambitions of trying to influence the European Union. And since Merkel really intensified the competition with France to dominate the European Union. You can see in several occasions that Angela Merkel, she really took the ideas of Emmanuel Macron on how to reshape the European Union to make it more efficient and everything. She never really took them serious. She never commented on them. Even sometimes it was like Emmanuel Macron as a little child shouting to change the European Union, reshape it, but Merkel just ignoring it and letting it the way to be. So there is still a little competition between Germany and France on how to reshape the European Union. But recently France, because of its lack of resources, its lack of power, and also France having heavy internal problems, this really weakened them when it comes to the race of dominating the European Union. And now it's more like trying to get as much as they can, but also accepting that Germany has the leading role. So it's not like they're really friends. They both try to use the European Union for their own benefit. But as they tried to show us that it's an example of foes becoming the biggest friends and everything, this is also far from reality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about Russia? Russia and Germany have been historic enemies. How would you describe their relationship today?
Obviously, because of its history when it comes to the Soviet Union and Putin, one of the biggest supporters of the Soviet Union, who even said that the collapse of the Soviet Union was one of the biggest political disasters in the 20th century, the German political class still views Russia as a big enemy. So even Angela Merkel, who ruled Germany for 16 years, she was raised in East Germany. She saw the dictatorship. She saw the lack of economic possibilities. She witnessed everything herself. And this, obviously, this image she had from the Soviet Union and from Russia, from Putin, cries after the Soviet Union, this shaped the, when it comes to the relationship to Germany, from Germany with Russia. In the past, Germany was ruled by successive rulers who had a negative view of Russia, who went to political distance of Russia, and who sought closeness to America when it comes to the political relationship. When it comes to the economic relationship, because of Germany's resource dependency, Germany became very close with Russia because of the energy resources. But when it comes to the political relationship, Germany always went on distance with Russia. The only exemption from that was when Gerhard Schröder came to power in 2001. From 2001 until 2008, Gerhard Schröder, who we know now is one of the last open supporters of Putin, he went to distance from the US, even attacked the US invasion in Iraq publicly and denounced the US invasion of Iraq publicly and didn't participate in it. He went or tried to get close to Putin and tried to establish Putin in the public here in Germany. So, and also under his leadership, for the first time and also the last time, Putin held a public speech in front of the German parliament. So if we think of this now, Putin holding a public speech in front of the parliament, the Bundestag in Germany, then we would never believe that something like this could ever happen. But it happened under Gerhard Schröder. But as soon as Schröder lost its chancellorship, Germany again went to big distance. And now even Olaf Scholz, even though he is from the social party as Gerhard Schröder and even viewed Gerhard Schröder as one of the most important political figures in Germany, even he undertook political decisions which destroyed the relationship to Russia in a certain way. So he shut down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was recently built, finished, but he shut it. And even when Russia invaded Ukraine, he publicly called it a Zeitenwende, which actually means that the time will change forever now, and this is to a point of no return. So he basically made clear that the German-Russian relationship will never be able to come to the point as they used to be, and this is the new reality we have to face forever. And even now, with Germany trying to get less and less dependent from Russia, I think the relationship with Russia, which were based upon the energy dependency, once this energy dependency from Russia is gone, there really is no common ground for Russia and Germany to come into a base. So this will affect the relationship from Germany with Russia forever. And I think in future we can see Germany and Russia becoming more and more distant.
Okay, so Marcelo, two more countries really to look at. The first is the German-American relationship, the deep security defense relationship there. And then also China. China's investing heavily in Europe, which naturally means it's going to bump into Germany, being the largest economy in Europe. And on China, my question is Germany pro or anti-China?
So Germany is neither pro-China nor against China. Germany has a big economic relationship with China. China is the biggest economic partner of Germany. China is the biggest car market in the world right now. And as one of the main foundations of the German industry is the car industry. Many German car companies have production lines in China. VW has a big production line in Xinjiang. So when it comes to economic relationship, China is the most important economic partner of Germany. But obviously the economic extension of China trying to buy harbors, airports and everything in Europe was also viewed critical from Germany. So Germany in 4 years ago, they made a law that where Germany, they looked at its economy and they've declared some parts of its economy as infrastructure critical. And they made a law which was general, but obviously everyone knew that this law is directly against China, where they said that these parts of the economy which are declared infrastructure critical, they are not allowed to be sold to foreign countries. And the only country who was buying airports, harbors, and everything was China. So everyone knew, obviously, this law is against China. But when it comes to, for example, building the 5G network, and let me explain the relationship to the US and the same question, because the relationship of China, of Germany with China, also has something to do with the relationship of America. When it came to the building of the 5G network by Huawei, Germany had no problem of Huawei building up the 5G network. And the only reason why Germany, in the end, they banned Huawei of building up this network was because America forbid it and sanctioned it, that everyone who lets Huawei or sanctioned Huawei, which is why Germany couldn't let it happen in the end. Interestingly, there was NATO, or the last NATO summit of Merkel, the NATO General Secretary Jens Stoltenberg, he made a big speech of China being the new enemy and everyone has to focus on China and everything. Merkel made a speech where they said that you can't force upon us the viewing China as an enemy. And I think this is the main, one of the main problems in the relationship with America. So America views China as the next big enemy. When it came to the Soviet Union, it wasn't hard to convince Germany or Europe to take the Soviet Union as an enemy, because the Soviet Union was on the doorsteps of Europe. But when it comes to China, China is not on the doorstep of Europe. China is very far from Europe. So this will be a very critical point of in the relationships of Germany and the US, of when it comes to the US forcing upon Germany to take China as its enemy and cutting the relationship with China. And I think in future we will see that this point, it will really have a heavy impact on the US-German relationship. And we can see that in the future, the German relationship, the German-US relationship, we will see very heavy cracks inside there. And we could see these cracks where under the presidency of Donald Trump, who sanctioned and made some barriers to German products, and even German products making some barriers against America. So the barriers or the taxes America had to pay for its products, they were, Germany didn't really chose the best products. So they chose Harley-Davidson bikes. They chose peanut butter, for example, a product which really don't have an effect to the US economy. But Germany to putting up heavy taxes on American product, this was unique. And in future, we can see more and more of these cracks inside the German-US relationship.
Okay, so Marcelo, when I look at German foreign policy, I see a lot of trade, I see a lot of economics. Why has German economic power not translated into global political influence?
But the reason for this is, in my opinion, one single one, and this is lack of political will. Germany has a lot of resources which other countries wish to have. So, first of all, the German discipline is known in the old world. The German quality of products made in Germany. When you go to, so my mom was telling me when she grew up in Iran, and they had, like, you know, these cooking pots. And when one of these cooking pots was made in Germany, everyone went like, whoa, this was made in Germany, take good care of it, this is the best of the best. So made in Germany is a brand which is known in the whole world. German engineers, entrepreneurs are known in the whole world. So the only thing Germany is missing is the political will. And when you look at the leaders and even the political system is made that Germany can't really have this strong political leadership. Gerhard Schröder, he tried to change it through the Federalism Reform 1 and the Federalism Reform 2, where even the German Constitution, the Grundgesetz, had to change, because they took the power of the federal states and strengthen the political leadership. But as long as Germany doesn't have the political will to really completely change its political constitution, to abandon the federal system, look, when we look at France, when we look at Britain, when we look at America, when we look at Russia, when we look at China, all these countries with heavy political influence in the world, none of them has this federal system. Now you look at Turkey under the Osmanian state, where they had a strong leadership. You can look at their influence now. You look at Turkey now after after the new republic, you can see they also have this federal state. So really, this federal state is something which always puts chains on the political leadership. So until this will is not there to change this whole political system, there won't be any big advances in political influence. As soon as they have this political influence, and for this they have to get over their past, they have to get over their history, especially the Nazi history. And once the political is there, political will is there, we can see in the past with Hitler and with Kaiser Friedrich Wilhelm, the political will was there and it ended in a world war. So, and the world obviously knows this fact. Once Germany has a strong single leadership, what might happen, because we witnessed it twice already. So as long as the lack of this political will is the main factor why Germany, even though they have more resources, more than France, Britain and other countries, why they don't have the same political influence as then.
Okay, Mr. Lohmann, my final question. What do you see as Germany's long-term challenges?
So the long-term challenges, when you look at, or let me put it this way, the long-term challenges, how they are defined right now is Germany's energy dependency. This is one of the biggest challenges Germany faces right now. You can see it in the price hikes when it comes to gas, when it comes to electricity, when it comes to petrol. Also, it's the population decline. Now, this year, for the first time, Germany's population was shrinking heavily. And even the economy, like we in Germany, we have a lot of, like, we call them Vereine, like the IWF or the... Yeah, like you could say they're experts for economy, which are crying for migration, and Germany's leadership trying to regulate the migration and only letting experts inside. You know, like a month ago, one of these economic experts, he published an article where he said, we don't have the position where we can allow only experts coming into Germany. What we need right now is migration. Even if they don't are experts, we need migration, because in the future the system with the pensions and we can't uphold it. So once the migrants are here, we can still build them into experts. But what we need right now is migration, because this is the only way to fight against this population decline. So population decline and energy dependency are the main challenges Germany faces right now. But these are the factors they talk about and which are known. But these factors, you can only tackle them through political will. So the biggest challenge for Germany in future is, does Germany have the political will to turn into a powerhouse, to face these challenges through a strong hand, or will they remain the status quo and just change its energy dependency from Russia to, for example, to natural, or from the sun when it comes to natural energies like photovoltaic and everything, or will they change their population decline into dependency on migration? So all of these are combined to, or are connected to, the political will. And the political will, as the main challenge of Germany.
Thank you for your insight today, Marcelo. That was really interesting. If you want to learn more about the issues raised today, please check out our website, www.thegeopolity.com, all one word. You can also learn more on other issues by accessing our website, where you'll find comprehensive insights, analysis, articles, and deep dives. My name is Nan, and I will see you soon.